Welcome to Empath, conversations and intentions around meaningful marketing for soulful, sensitive, empathic entrepreneurs. Join me, the feral writer, to talk with truth and texture about creativity from the heart space, marketing with meaning and emotion. This is Empath. Hi guys, and welcome back to Empath. Today I'm talking about 10 marketing tips for artists. You don't have to be an artist for these tips to be relevant to you, but I did a piece a few weeks ago where I basically did 10 tips for writers, and I wanted to do something specifically with art in mind because I work with a lot of artists through Empress and through my courses and one-to-one work in the past, and I find that art is one of the areas where people struggle to market themselves and their talent isn't always apparent. So I wanted to share just 10 simple tips today for things to consider if you are working in the art world or you are considering becoming an artist, and how you can promote yourself effectively and with impact and authenticity. So here we go. My first tip is you are more than your work. Show me what's behind it. I come across so many art accounts and they're often showing their work and it's work picture, work picture, work picture. And I find that although your work is your main thing, right? That's the main thing you're selling. I want to know who I'm buying from. Art is incredibly personal and I want to get to know you. And I actually work with an estate agency, which I know is nothing to do with art, but it's the same premise that if you go to most estate agency social media accounts, you'll find house, 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 house. It might be a new instruction, or it might be a price reduction, or it might be coming soon, or it might be sale agreed. But all you see is just house, 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 house. And that's great if you're in the market for buying or selling a house, which you likely are if you're on an estate agency social media. But what happens when you've bought the house? What happens when you've sold the house? You want to carry on that relationship. And I found that there weren't any estate agencies with personality, if I'm honest. They weren't showing themselves. They weren't sharing themselves. They were just relying on the bricks and mortar every time. When we changed that, we started to focus on the people in the agency, the promise of the agency, you know, the impact the agency had, and the people within and what they cared about and what their passions were and what their beliefs were and why they were such a long-standing agent. When we started looking at the history and the legacy and the care for the community, that's when we started to set them apart. You know, otherwise they're just somewhere you go for houses, and what's the difference between them and the estate agent next door? Now, although that's very different to art, I want to use it as an example because if I love your work, I love your work. But we get into the habit of thinking our work is enough, that a pretty painting is enough. And it's not, because where's the personality? Where is the sort of three-dimensional behind the scenes of that person? I want to know who I'm working with. I want to know who I'm buying from. I want to know what inspires you, what your ethos is, you know. If I'm buying an abstract piece, well, how do I know what's inspired that piece? I want to hear like a bit about the collection, a bit about each piece, a bit about your process and how you go out and get the materials you need for this, where you go to paint or draw or whatever. So don't just show your work. Show me the person behind the work is my first point. Number two is controversial, I know. Social media is more important than search marketing. For me, I feel like people are not going to be searching for you. They're going to find you. You know, they don't know they need you. If you're a copywriter, someone might be looking for you. Someone might be putting copywriter in Bristol into a search engine. So that's one thing. But an artist, I'm sure there are people looking for it. But if I'm looking for an artist in Bristol, the chances are I'm going to be looking for a piece of art that I love, and I'm not going to find it through a search engine. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Abstract art in Cornwall? Well, do you know what? I don't really only like abstract art. I like all kinds of art. The artists I've found, I've seen their work on social media and fallen in love with it. Let me think of an example. I got a piece of art recently from an artist who I actually was looking for paint colours for my lounge, and I found an account using the paint that I was looking at. And during that time, I found a picture on someone's mantelpiece that I loved. So I was looking for paint, found this picture, fell in love with it, found out who the artist was, started following her, and started looking at her pieces and liking them, and I went on to purchase a piece. I wasn't looking for a piece of art. I wasn't looking for that person that painted that piece. I fell in love with it when I saw it. Another example, there are some local artists here in Cornwall, and I walked into their studio one day because it was in the high street, and I was just browsing, and I fell in love with a piece, and I had to have it. And that's often how it happens. I wasn't searching for a particular type of art in Cornwall. It literally found me. So I would rather that people invested in their social media so that it looks good when you're found than hoping that people will search for you. People might be searching for abstract art, but I definitely think there's more power from a purchase perspective and from a promotion perspective to focus on your portfolio and how that looks when people arrive. Number three is to personalize your pitch. With art, the main thing you're going to be doing is selling through art galleries. So you need to be approaching the galleries in a way that stands you apart. Think how many people approach these art galleries. Why would I care about you? Yes, your work hopefully fits in with my gallery, but again, I'm looking for more than the work. You are more than your work. I want to connect with you. I want to know my customers are going to love you. I probably want to know that your work's going to sell in the first place. So I want you to go in and tell me something about you. Tell me why I'd be interested in you. Tell me what sets you apart. Tell me about what inspires your work. Make it personal. And you know, guys, I know I've shared this in other podcasts, but I would go as far as to say, do a video for me. If you can't get there in person, if you can go in person and meet the gallery owner and talk to them about your ethos and show your energy in a place where they can receive it personally, that's brilliant. But if not, do the next best thing and record them a video message that's personal. The power of that cannot be underestimated. It is incredible. So I would consider personalizing your pitch as much as possible. And if you can't do that, make the email or the letter really, really honest about who you are and what inspires you and why I'd be interested in you and what your collection's about and what it embodies and also why it's right for their gallery. Don't just give me something that I know is generic. People know when you're giving them a generic pitch. Make it personal, make it down to earth, make it real, make it relatable, and then also make sure you either follow it up or try and get there in person. There's nothing better than being in person. Even if you're writing an email or a letter, the aim is to get in the door, because only then can you really start a relationship with your gallery. And also, can I just say, to pick your galleries, depending on which ones speak to you and align with you, don't pick the most successful ones. Don't try and be somewhere prestigious. You know, don't try and be in the Tate if the Tate isn't aligned with who you are. There's nothing wrong with going for smaller, more creative, I'm not saying the Tate isn't creative, but, you know, back alley type galleries. Realistically, they're very rarely in back alleys, I know, but what I'm trying to say is if it feels right and their work appeals to you and their website appeals to you and their ethos appeals to you, don't think, well, I have to go to the big successful ones. Because you actually might be more successful in smaller ones if they're relatable to you, if they're on the level, okay? Number four, content marketing is your friend. Absolutely. You know, the painting, the drawing, that's brilliant, but content is key. So that's blog posts perhaps, or videos of you working on pieces, talking about your inspiration, a newsletter, a Substack, an Instagram Live. Please note, not all of these, I'm just reeling some off. You don't need to be everywhere. And actually, I think it's really important not to be everywhere, to choose the places that appeal to you the most. Don't go writing blog posts if you really hate writing, but also don't go sharing video updates if you really, really hate videos. And I mean, it's a fine line because I'm going to advise you to be on video. I recommend it wholeheartedly. You're not going to be comfortable. You're going to feel like a bit of a knob, and that's part of it. So I'm not going to say just because you feel uncomfortable, don't do it, because there's not one person out there, myself included, who didn't feel like a knob when I started doing video. However, if you really hate it, if you really can't do it, can't get over it, you feel uncomfortable, you tried to record one, you fell apart, it's not for you, do what you love. And maybe that's a podcast, because that's the thing. You can be on a podcast as an artist. I think people think artists have to be a visual medium, and that's not true. It can complement what you're doing. So it's just about getting your content out there and sharing something of interest to your audience. What are they interested in? Do they want a behind-the-scenes four-part video series where they see you from idea to finished piece, creating the whole piece of art? Or do they want a blog post on each collection? Or what is it they want, and how do they respond to your content? But regular content is really key in promotion for every industry. and it's something I think gets missed a lot in the art world. Number 5 is to encourage your customers to share their pieces so you can show your art in people's homes. This is so vital to show me, like, you know, here's one we made earlier type thing. If you think about jewelry or makeup, they're really good examples because you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm more likely to buy lipstick if I see it on someone. In fact, I've got a friend called Laura, and every time she buys a lipstick, I swear I end up buying it because she looks so good in it. The truth is, you know, she can have the perfect nude lipstick and it's never quite the right nude for me. I mean, I've got about 50 nudes and counting, thanks to Laura. However, I'm not buying it from a Charlotte Tilbury marketing campaign or a MAC marketing campaign or anything like that. I'm buying it because I'm seeing it on someone, and that might be the person that made it, you know, like Lisa Eldridge. When she puts a lipstick on, I always end up buying it. But often it's from seeing it on social media or seeing someone wear it or saying to someone, where's your lipstick from? Don't underestimate the power of that. When I think about the art I've bought in life, it's often because I've seen that artist somewhere else and I've loved it somewhere else. A friend might have a piece, or, you know, I might have seen a piece in a hotel or something like that. And that's often the way it goes. So make sure if you're getting your work in people's homes that you're trying to convince them to share it, that you're getting pictures of it in people's homes. And if they don't share it to their audience, you can at least get a picture and share it to yours. And again, as a side note, if you manage to get somewhere like a hotel, that's brilliant, because you're able to be in front of all those people. Think of all the people who are going in and out of places like hotels or Airbnbs. People don't think about Airbnbs. If you find a popular Airbnb to put your piece in, you know, that can be a really good move. Think about the amount of people going in and out of that Airbnb, or hairdressers or beauticians, anywhere where people are, a spa. Spa is a great one. Anywhere where people are going in and out. And actually, on a side note of a spa, when you've been to a spa, you're in a very lovely state. You've probably had a massage. You are open. You're receptive. You're not rushing. You're open to sit in their relaxation room and drink a herbal tea and look around the walls in a way that you wouldn't be in a convenience store or in a supermarket. So I think it's really powerful to put your art in places where people will be sitting and enjoying and spending time and relaxing and in a really good peace of mind. I mean, peace of mind, a really good space of, no, what am I saying? A really good place mentally and emotionally. I think when we think about that, think about independent massage therapists. There are several down here in Cornwall who are lovely massage therapists, really experienced, really skilled, and they've just got one really beautiful room. I very rarely see art in that room, and that would be a really good move to give a piece to places like that. So you're giving a piece of art to places that have people coming in, day out for relaxation and calm and, you know, to love themselves and take care of themselves. That'd be a really good place to position yourself. And on a marketing perspective, yes, it's one little thing, but that one thing is getting you seen and getting you recognized. Every time that massage therapist photographs their room, their lovely sort of salon room, your picture's in the shot. Every time they have a customer in, that picture's there and they're seeing it when they're welcomed in. So don't underestimate the power of where you're positioned and who's promoting where you're positioned and who's sharing your work, because that's how you get seen the most. Number 6 is to build a brand. Differentiate yourself from a hobbyist. You know, I think that people buy from people and it's really important to keep it personal, but I want to see you, I want to know who you are. I want you to define your difference, and I want to you to distill your essence. And I want to see that your brand messages, and I want to see your values through your work, and I want to see what you care about, and I want to see your style and know your style. You know, with a copywriter, most copywriters and designers that I know through the industry, I could honestly tell their work in a lineup. You could show me 5 designers that I know really well, mix up their work, and I'd be able to tell you who designed what, because they've got signature stamps on things. And that's it. Know your signature stamp, know your brand and how you look and how you feel to your customers. You know, I think that especially when we're sort of in a world of like Etsy and all these different like online places, I want to see you showing me who you are and showing me where you are, where I can find you, and your brand is a bigger picture. So you're not just relying on the art to sell you. You're selling the brand experience of buying from you. Number 7 is to put a portfolio together. so that I can see your collections. Don't just rely on exhibitions or third-party websites like Etsy, for example. I want to see your work in one place. And if you can't afford a website, you could maybe afford one page, just one page gallery page where I can look at your work so I can see the sort of collections you do, or the 10 pieces that are currently for sale, or 10 pieces that have just sold, etc. So that I'm getting to know your work and your style, and I can click on something and go somewhere. It's really powerful to be able to take me somewhere, and I cannot count the number of artists who send me somewhere else. They direct me to a gallery somewhere, but I would rather go somewhere where I can see your work. And if you can't do that, remember to use your Instagram highlights so that you can have the X collection, the Y collection, recently sold work, available work, about the artist, things like that as your highlight reel, so that I can connect with you and flick through your work and get to know you on a deeper level. Number 8 is to tell me the story. How did you become an artist? You know, what inspires you? Who are you? I want to hear your backstory. Most people that I know didn't go to college and study art and become artists. I know there are some out there, but a lot of people became artists in the midlife. Something happened to them to make them become an artist or step into the art world or express themselves this way. And I want to know that story. I want to know how you got from A to B, and, you know, paint the canvas of your life. Don't just rely on your work. I've said this again and again. Tell me the backstory behind it and tell me who you are. Really tell me who you are. Like, a good about page for an artist is so crucial. And I don't want to hear it like the cliches and the, you know, generic stuff that they all say. I want to hear something real. So share your real story on your about page. Number 9 is repeat customers are key customers. Basically, collections over transactions. With artists, I find so often if you love one piece, you're going to love the next piece. Like, true story. The two art pieces I gave you as an example that I've got earlier, one of them, I've already got her next piece that I want on my wish list. Like, I narrowed it down to 2 and I couldn't decide. And I will be back for the second one because I love it so much. And I think I'll probably have them side by side. The other artist that I bought from, a husband and wife team, beautiful abstract pieces. Their piece is currently about to go in our new entrance hall. Like, we've had it for ages and it's moved around in different houses, but we're about to finally get a permanent home place for it, which is amazing. And essentially, I'm going to want more. Like, it's quite an investment buying from them. I love their work. I love everything they do. They're called Jack and Inga Hayes, and their Instagram is North 55 Gallery. They are such amazing artists, and I would honestly buy their whole collection if I could. So I'll be back for more. And when I go back for more, I'm going to want something that I know I'm going to love, and I'm going to find a place for it. And I know that their style resonates with me. Like, I know I love their pieces. I know there are people out there that want different pieces from different artists, but the people that come back and buy more, of which there are many, you know, you have to cater to those people and remember to stay in touch with them. Are you speaking to them? Are you sending them out emails on an email database? Are you telling them about new collections you've done? Or are you relying on them coming to you? Like, are you saying, we're currently working on this, here's the inspiration? You know, I'm not promoting discounts because I don't think you should have to do discounts in any industry. But if you did want to do a discount, I would rather that you did a discount privately to your people who've bought from you before, who've recommended you before, your biggest advocates, than to the public. I don't want to buy a piece of art with 15% off. I'd rather buy a piece of art for 15% off as a loyalty thank you for buying before. So don't ever neglect your existing customers, because most people will repurchase. Most people who love your pieces will come back for more. Number 10, you don't have to be an expert to be an artist. And I think this is really important because there's a lot of imposter syndrome in the art world and people saying, well, I'm not a real artist, or the other way, they've got like so much ego, they're trying to prove that they are somebody and prove that they are a real artist. And quite often that comes from an insecurity within themselves, because quite frankly, no one gives a fuck. No one really cares. I don't care anyway. I don't care if you've got an art degree. I don't care if you are a leading artist, or you've got an award, or you've been shortlisted for a competition, or you're in the Tate. I don't care. If I love the work, I love the work. I never once asked the artist that I purchased from what their credibility was, because I think that talent is not about time. It's about truth. It's not about how long you spend training. I mean, it might be if you're a doctor. It might be if you're a vet, Actually, even then I'm going to question this. I'm going to challenge this because one of the best doctors I ever saw in my life was a junior doctor who had so much passion. And it wasn't about expertise in the industry, because let me tell you, he wasn't tired. He was fresh and he was on the ball and he was interested and engaged and he noticed things that other doctors missed. So it's not in any industry, but particularly in a creative industry, your talent is your talent. If you've got the talent, you've got the talent. Now, sometimes putting the time in hones your talent. It does. But if you're 50 years as an artist or you're 5 months as an artist, trust me, you can be 5 months in and be shit hot. So I don't care about how credible, in inverted commas, you are, how sort of practiced you are, that you've done 120 pieces or that you've sold in 50 countries. I honestly don't care. If I love your work, I love your work. So don't let it put you off. Don't think I'm not good enough or I haven't got the expertise or I've not been around long enough or I'm too new or I'm too fresh, because honestly, talent is talent and people will buy from you if they love your work. People will buy from you if they believe you and resonate with your story. People are not buying because you've got letters after your name or because you've done X amount of pieces in your life. People buy because they connect with your work. And I think that's really, really important. So those are my 10 marketing tips for artists. There's loads out there you could do. And yes, you could put together a whole marketing plan, or you could, you know, go and get a studio of your own, or you could invest in SEO marketing or pay-per-click advertising. There's so much you can do. You could do remarketing advertising. You could put together social media adverts, all of these things. But I think the most important thing is to know that you're more than your work and to show up and show more than your work, but to also have your work in a place where I can see it and talk to me and tell me the truth of who you are so I can connect with you, because a piece of art is an emotional purchase and it's really important you're connecting with me on an emotional level, and that involves vulnerability and showing yourself as you are. We always finish every single episode with an invitation to set an intention. So today I'm inviting you to, whether you're an artist or not, think about how can I show myself beyond my work? Whatever you're creating, how can I express myself beyond the scope of my work? That's it for today, guys. Thank you so much. And remember, whatever you do, all you've got to be is true. Thank you for listening to Empath, the podcast for meaningful marketing for soulful creatives. If you want more from me, head to my website, jesscollins.co.uk, and check out my membership community, Empress, where you will find a community of heart-centered creatives, the Empress Practice, my signature 7 chapters of soulful marketing, and weekly live sessions, from soul goal setting to journaling and personal access to me. The doors are currently open. Be sure to message me on Instagram at @TheFeralWriter to let me know how you found this episode. Take care, and I'll be back next week.